closer versus farther away? What's your sense as to where this team is at in that respect?
I would argue both to an extent, because we are very close, but we need to consciously and intentionally make moves to get us better. I think that's, you know, something that we might have been a victim of in the offseason a little bit, just because we have guys that can get better, you know, on the pitching side and offensively. That seemed like that was the goal and the, you know, the outlook during the offseason. Not that we made some moves, but there are guys that we have now that can get better, that will get better, but we have to make it happen. And then obviously going out there and, you know, trading for guys, signing guys, who knows from there. But I think it's something that we have to be conscious and intentional about.
We could have acquired proven major league bats. Absolutely. There are opportunities on the table for us. We could have done it, just not at a price that we were comfortable with. So I think we just got to carry that into the offseason. I think we know a lot more about how teams are thinking about their own players and thinking about our prospects or just players in general. And we're just going to have to dive back into that in November.
I didn't realize that yesterday was an information gathering opportunity, first and foremost, for Ben Cherington. Like, well, let's get an understanding of the market. Ben Cherington on his radio show on Sunday, he stated a goal. And that goal was for the Pirates to be better in 2026 than they were this year. Ben Cherington ultimately acquired 9 players yesterday, one of whom won. Has a chance to be on the big league roster next year. And that's Rafael Flores, who was the 8th best prospect in the New York Yankees system. A catcher, mind you. Ben Cherington's done some catcher acquiring in his days as the Pirates GM. Drafted Henry Davis 1-1. He hasn't worked out. Joey Bart came in last year, flash in the pan. He's been terrible this year. Can't play defense. And that power that he had last season is gone. And Andy Rodriguez, who we've all had big hope for, well, he hasn't played really at all in each of these last 2 seasons due to injury. And they use their biggest trade asset to go acquire a catcher because they failed so bad at developing any of the catchers they've had. And the guy that they got, while Jeff Passan of ESPN says, oh, he's major league ready, he's only had 10 AAA at bats. Jeff, you're really good at your job. You are smoking crack, man. Well, he's a good pitch framer. Awesome. So was Austin Hedges. Guess what's coming down the pike, friends? Automatic balls and strikes. So the biggest attribute that this guy reportedly has ain't even going to be something that's worth a hill of beans within these next couple of years. That's just one of the problems you can have with the trade deadline yesterday. I think you can defend, if you are so inclined, the Bednar trade a little bit. I won't. I don't think you will. I listen to Harry Callis' show. He ain't going to do that. You could squint and defend it a little bit. There are 2 things that are indefensible here. You didn't move any of the rentals. How is that possible? You don't trade Andrew Heaney. You don't trade IKF. You don't trade Ted Williams. Oh, excuse me, Tommy Pham, who's been unreal the last 6 weeks. They're not going to be a part of next year's team. They're just taking up roster spots this year. That's indefensible. 1. 2, Bailey Falter is a really good 4th or 5th starter in Major League Baseball. He's a lefty. He was under team control for the next 3 years. He's cheap. And you basically gave him away for nothing. You gave him away for a guy who's pitched in 5 Major League games this year and a prospect outside the Royals' top 30. Doran, it is one of the worst trade deadline days for a franchise that I can remember. And the reason I played the Skeens clip off the top is because Skeens called out the front office in his own special way on Sunday and said that the Pirates need to be intentional about getting better. They did not do that yesterday. And this wouldn't hurt so bad. This wouldn't be the worst trade deadline I could remember if you didn't have Paul Skeens. It would just be another run-in-the-mill Pirates failed trade deadline. But you do have Paul Skeens, and you're trying to, at least allegedly, maximize that window, and nothing they did yesterday. Seriously, nothing they did yesterday helps maximize the Paul Skeens window. I've said a lot. It's your turn to say a lot now, my friend.
Well, I mean, it just kind of goes, like, we can get into the details of the trades and we can get into the details of the prospects and, you know, the guys that, that left. And, you know, we'll do that throughout the show. But it kind of gets where I'm at is what I kind of said in the pre-show. And just being aware of how people have been feeling for the last 30-plus years of being a Pirates fan. And I just can't wrap my mind of being in, like, a war room during a time like this and making the trades that you made and feel good. And how do you feel good about that? And knowing what the perception is of you, knowing what the perception is of your team, of your front office, you know, year in and year out. And it is a slap in the face to the fans. It has been a slap in the face to the fans. But what bothers me the most, what bothers me the most is that you had opportunity. Whenever opportunity is presented for possible change, you usually take advantage of it, knowing and being aware of the situation. They know what's going on. They know what's being said. They know that they haven't done right since last year's trade deadline. But you had opportunities in the offseason. You didn't make it right. You had opportunities right yesterday, and you didn't make it right again? What is that message? What is that telling people? What is it telling people? That's number two. Okay, that's the fans. That's the town, the city that has endured this for years and years and years. Then two times in the last, what, 2-3 months? 2 months, maybe? 3 months? Paul Skenes, arguably one of the best players in baseball. Generational talent. You have him. You drafted him 1-1. Two times the guy has alluded to or blatantly said on our airwaves that this needs to change. You slap him right in the face.
Yeah, you do.
You slap him. That's number one. You slap him right in the face. Now, the first time he alluded to it, whenever we were at the Five Along Marathon, he was alluding to all the things. Now, whenever he talked to Zangrilli the other day, he actually said it. So the first time, okay, you can live with that because you couldn't really maneuver anything at that time and you're trying to figure some things out.
And it's still fairly early.
It's still early. But a couple days ago, whenever he directly says it, and then this is what you give him? What are they trying to tell us? Is it the same message that it has been for the last 30 years? I think it's a little bit different because it's so blatant. Like you said, it'd be different if Paul Skenes wasn't here, as we've endured as Pirates watchers and fans throughout the year. It's like, oh, okay, like whatever. Like, you know, they don't have a generational talent. They don't have somebody to build around. They don't have, you know, these high expectations. They're going to do what they do, so we're just going to live with it. But whenever you do have somebody like Paul Skenes, how can you operate like that every single day and think that you're doing right?
Correct.
That's the problem. That's where I'm at. It's deeper than just the trades.
Right. The details of the trades.
It's deeper.
This prospect, that prospect. Correct.
For me, it is deeper than that.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. You have the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. You were a contender for a playoff spot at last year's trade deadline. And since then, what are you, 35, 40 games under 500? You're worse today than you were the day that he threw his first pitch as a Pittsburgh Pirate.
Crowley,
unforgivable.
Crowley, this season has been awful, right?
Yep.
You're worse today than you were in the start of the season. You could have gotten better, but you're worse than the worst, which we didn't expect this year. We thought that they would be a little bit better, right? But they have been catastrophically almost worse than we expected them to be this year. Now they're even worse than that.
Yes.
They're even worse than that. How?
A texter writes in, guys, the only people talking about maximizing the Skenes window are the media. The Pirates haven't said that because that's not their goal. The Pirates don't care about a Skenes window. No, don't do that. Nobody do that. Ben Sherrington on Sunday said that their goal is to be better in 2026. And sure, there's an offseason between now and then, and it's feasible that they could be better, but nothing they did yesterday gets them closer to that goal. Nothing. You could maybe upgrade at catcher. Maybe. But the guy that you brought in,
he's not, I mean,
he played 10 games
right.
in AAA. 10 games. Maybe he winds up being good. Pull up his statistics, compare them to Henry Davis's statistics in AA. And you know what you'll find?
Yeah.
A guy who could hit the cover off the baseball at AA. That doesn't guarantee you anything. Maybe he is going to be good. Maybe. Is he going to be a finished product next year? No. And we talked chapter and verse this last month or so about the need to go out and acquire major league bats. And so that was the other clip that we played at the top of the show here. So you got Paul Skeen saying you need to be intentional. That did not happen. The other clip was Ben Cherington saying we had an opportunity to add major league bats, but the asking price was too high. Does this guy not understand that it's year six and there's a sterno, nay, a torch under his backside that's heating up the chair to the point where he was one of the stories leading into the deadline. Ken Rosenthal wrote about it because his butt's on that hot seat. If my rear end were on the hot seat, and I can only speak from my experience, I'm doing everything I can to make sure that that's not the case. Like, if our ratings were terrible, and they're not, they're great, they're through the roof. If our ratings were really bad, I don't think you and I are coming in here every day going, hey, let's keep doing the same crap. We'd be, the show might be absurd. We might go in a completely different direction because you got to try stuff. You got to throw things against the wall to save, if nothing else, our own rear ends, our own backsides. You'd probably be safe. They'd just shoot me into the sun. But we would be trying different things by way of self-preservation. And what this guy did was, it was a great day for the Greensboro Grasshoppers. Hey, that team's going to be great. But the Pittsburgh Pirates, this is the neat little trick he pulled off, Ben Cherington. And our expectations were low, and man, he didn't even meet those. The neat little trick is the Pirates from here on until the end of the year are actually a worse baseball team.
Yeah.
Like, he made right. this
exactly.
team worse.
Exactly. How?
You don't have elite defense at third. Jared Triolo is actually a worse hitter than Key Brian Hayes, and he can't pick it the same way. And I realize now I am zooming in some of the details. But you're worse there, and your fourth, fifth starter, who's cheap and under team control, he's gone. And here's the neat little trick part. You're not better next season. You have found a way in one day to make yourself worse now and in the future. It's almost impossible to do what he did yesterday.
Yes.
And yet, he did it.
Well, don't forget this one either. I just saw a graphic on MLB Network. The Pirates had the most high-profile players not get traded. Like, guys on one-year deals.
Dennis Santana, still a Pirate.
Mitch Keller.
Still a Pirate.
Andrew Heaney.
Still a Pirate.
Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
Still a Pirate.
Tommy Pham.
Still a Pirate.
No good.
And Tommy Pham, it makes zero sense. The guy is crushing the baseball. You have to figure you're not giving up a lot to get Tommy Pham. But if I'm a contender, I'll ride that dude until he turns back into Tommy Pham. You acquire him, he's hot, he gives you another couple of good weeks, and then he turns back into himself, he turns back into a pumpkin. Okay, he's going to help you win games in the interim. A lot of stuff that happened yesterday makes no sense. We'll continue to break it down, but this is a great day to talk to you, the Pirates fan, at 412-928-9370. We could do this all day. We could push Starkey aside. We could push the PM team aside. We could literally not take a call the entire day, not have a guest the entire day. And we could do wall-to-wall 12 hours of radio just going back and forth, the three of us. We really could.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to hear from you today. Because I thought I'd come in here blowing hot fire. You said you're going to go nuclear on the Pirates, and we have been very critical. But I'm somewhere between angry and depressed. And the feeling I have inside right now is actually even surprising me. Like, I thought I was going to But I'm almost too depressed to be angry.
Numb.
That's the word. How do you feel? That's the word Doran's using. It's a great one. Numb at 412-928-9370. Not to be confused with apathy. 412-928-9370. Ben Cherington did speak yesterday, and we're going to hear more from him over the course of the show. Noah Hiles to break all this down at 8:35. Jason Mackey from 9 o'clock until 10. But again, we want to hear from you at 412-928-9370.
In the air down the left field line. Gone! Key Brian Hayes' first hit as a Red is a three-run homer. That's some life for Cincinnati. It's 11-6.
Yep. Yeah. Sure. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Key Brian Hayes, bomb last night for the Reds. Goes 1-for-5. Did commit an error. So now he can't play defense, but he's going to hit the ball over the fence. Bad trade deadline. You look at the Athletic, winners and losers, Pirates, losers. Pretty much wherever you look, they're listed as losers, except for ESPN, where they're totally omitted.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're just not relevant on a national right. scale, I guess. That's what you said, more or less, when I brought that up prior to the show. I said, well, I can't, but the Pirates aren't losers? What the heck? And you're like, they're an afterthought.
Yes, nobody even thinks of them as a team.
And I see what the Seattle Mariners did. The Seattle Mariners listed as a winner pretty much everywhere you look. They got Naylor to play first. They got Eugenio Suarez to play third. That's a team that for years has been all pitching and no hitting. And that's where you kind of hope the Pirates could be this year if they had made some moves at the deadline. And then you go out and you do those kinds of things. You know, Ben Cherington could have added yesterday. You can give up prospects. You can act like a buyer and sell at the same time. You can try to thread that needle. And that would have been, when he's talked about opportunity, that would have been the thing to do. You know, Stephen Kwan wound up not getting traded by the Guardians yesterday, but just because you're not in contention right now doesn't mean you couldn't have packaged Bubba Chandler and some others and go and try to get that guy,
mm-hmm.
who after this year's got 2 years of control, is one of the best professional hitters in all of Major League Baseball. Cherington said there were position players out there to be had, but the cost was too high. Buddy, you're probably not going to be here next year. So what do you care about the cost? What do you care about getting guys who profile to be here in 2028? You collected a lot of those. Is Ben Cherington going to be here next year? 412-928-9370. What's more likely? Cherington being here next year or Rafael Flores, the catcher he acquired in the Bednar deal, being here next year?
Oh, my God.
Seriously, right?
Yeah.
Should we go to the phones?
Yes.
Bob in North Versailles. Good morning, Bob.
I tell you what, Crowley, these moves have me so upset. I want to go to Chicago and look for Rob the mailman. That's how upset I am. And another thing, Cherington is, I'm calling, what do they call that? Adult services, because he's abusing an elderly.
Okay, I can't do that. Mm-mm. Bob, the bit generally good. You gone too far that time.
Yep. Rob in Chicago, though. That's who he's looking for.
He's going after Rob in Chicago. Yep. Rob, your response to that?
Boy, I guess I got to look out for Bob from Versailles. I'll have to run him over in my truck. you know, I don't know what to say about this. I mean, unless we find compromising pictures of Bob Nutting, this isn't going to stop anytime soon.
Guys, we got to keep it somewhat. We got to keep it somewhat between the lines today.
Yeah, but you know what? We should expect this. People are upset. Very upset.
Well,
irate.
I've got friends texting me last night. Is Cherington trying to burn this thing down further?
I question that too.
The lack of moves that help this club and next year's club, it's almost impossible to be that incompetent. And so when people text those things, whenever we're going back and forth discussing it prior to the show, I think everything like that is on the table. I don't actually believe that Ben Cherington's doing that, but it just underscores what a bad job it was yesterday.
Yeah.
That when you say that, when I read that, I don't go, come on. I go, maybe.
Mm.
I don't really believe that, but It was that bad. We'll continue to hear more from Ben Cherington over the course of the show. He spoke yesterday. There might be one other station this morning that would even talk about the Pirates a little bit. I know for a fact they don't have Ben Cherington's comments that are really important, I think, to react to today. The justification for some of the moves, the explanation on what might be to come this offseason if he's still the man in charge. So we'll get to that, but a bunch of your calls at 412-928-9370. And we started with this right at the top of the show. How does Paul Skenes feel today? He's got to be beside himself. 412-928-9370.
Didn't feel like we had to trade anybody. There was no, sort of requirement to trade anyone. We were gonna take it a case at a time.
That's Ben Cherington. That's just 9 seconds of Ben Cherington there. And I look up at you, and there's an eye roll.
Oh my God!
I look over at Harry. There's an eye roll. I had an internal eye roll. He might be the most eye roll inducing public figure in the history of Pittsburgh sports. Because a lot of the time it's word salad.
Yes.
That was actually succinct for Cherington. We didn't feel like we had to trade anybody. Buddy, you got a bunch of guys on expiring deals. Like, you should feel like you need to trade them. What is Tommy Pham going to do for you the rest of the year? Help you win games in a season that no longer matters? And I guess he could argue, well, it matters. You want to win, or Don Kelly, or whatever. He said on Sunday the stated goal is to get better in 2026.
Yep.
So what does Tommy Pham hitting taters now do for you? Ben Cherington also said yesterday in his media availability that the Pirates had access to players that were ranked higher than who they got back for David Bednar, but they preferred the package. Thus meaning he wanted quantity over the quality. Which is insane to me. One last thing before we open it up to the phones again, Dorm. This from Jim Rosati, Northside Notch on Twitter. I think he's a really good follow for Pirates-related things. In Ben Cherington's tenure, he has acquired 10 of the Yankees' top 30 prospects, according to Baseball America, via trade. Here are the 10. Rowanzi Contreras. Now, new guy, Rafael Flores. Miguel Yajuri. Kanan Smith and Jigba. Edgleen Perez, who's part of this deal. Keiner Delgado. Brian Sanchez. Hoy Park! Maykol Escoto and Diego Castillo. Two of them too early to tell how this is going to pan out. The other 8 failures.
Yep.
To the phones?
Yes.
You are in a state today, man.
It's just ridiculous.
Can I make a quick comment?
Of course,
Harry. I saw in the Reds-Braves highlights that Connor Joe was on the bench for the Cincinnati Reds. I wonder if he was available at the deadline. Maybe they could have put him in the package for Key Brian Hayes. What are we doing?
Can you imagine Connor Joe hitting 186 this year for the Reds? He's about to turn that corner, I think. Would have been a great acquisition.
Hmm.
Jeff in Uniontown, hello. That's how it's going. Dennis and Plum, good morning to you.
I feel like I'm the only person that's happy about all of this morning.
Why is that?
Well, first of all, I think we all need a paradigm shift. And the way that I've chalked this up to at least have a little peace in my heart and in my mind.
Sure.
Because I don't view the Pirates any longer. Okay, for example, has there been a player like in Altoona and he's doing really well that he makes it to the major leagues and you're pretty happy for that guy?
I mean, Jack Sawinski came straight up from Altoona and then played well for a year. What's your point?
That's how I feel about David Bednar. He made it to the major leagues yesterday, so I'm happy for him. It's like, I no longer expect the Pirates to be the way things were back in the day or even how they were in 2013. I've accepted our fate, and I just enjoyed the day-to-day, and I'll be excited whenever Skenes leaves and goes to the Yankees, the Dodgers, and he gets to experience the joy of victory. And just now, we get to enjoy a great ballpark and watching players flourish, and that's the extent of it.
Thank you, Dennis. I thought you were going to say things that made me feel better.
Yeah, but I see where he's coming from.
Sure.
I didn't get it at first, but I see where he's coming from. It's like, yeah, okay, like you've made it to the major leagues. You graduated. Congratulations. You have graduated from eighth grade.
He's going to walk out there onto the mound at Yankee Stadium. Is David Bednar in a cap and gown?
David Bednar is probably a little bit upset. He's a little sad, emotional, but that will go away right after he wins the Yankees a game in his first start at Yankee Stadium. It'll be an afterthought.
If you talk to him, and we have talked to David Bednar, and he's a wonderful man. He's done a lot for this community. His ultimate end-all, be-all goal would have been closing games for the Buccos in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But he lands with the New York Yankees. He's going to run out onto the field. Renegade's going to be playing. There's going to be 50,000 fans in the stands. Tampa Bay Rays. And that's what everyone dreams of.
Mm-hmm.
He's a closer.
Mm-hmm.
In the playoffs?
Yep.
Mariano Rivera used to do that for the Yankees.
Yes.
So I am, yes, actually happy for David Bednar.
I don't think he's not going to be closing games, though, because they got Devin Williams. So it's a shame. He'll be
immaterial. Get what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah. Seventh inning guy.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
First time he trots off the mound after getting a strikeout for the third out of an inning,
right,
and 55,000 people go berserk. I mean, that's the dream right there. So I'm happy for him, but I'm a Pirates fan more than I'm a David Bednar fan. You root for the logo, and that sucks. Texter writes in, did you ever give any thought that nobody else wanted our bum players? Can't get something for nothing. No, I didn't give that thought.
No, because they, you know, Charrington even stated, right, that there was higher end players available.
Mitch Just Keller's a good player.
Yeah. No, I'm even saying for like Bednar. I mean, like
Bednar's
a
good player.
Right.
Like, just objectively good player. And this was a market where relievers were going for massive hauls. I'm not here to tell people that David Bednar is as good as another local product, Mason Miller. Mason Miller throws 105 miles an hour. He has more swing and miss stuff. These are the things that are valued. He gets the number three prospect in all of baseball, though. And you get the eighth best Yankees prospect. David Bednar's been flawless since he's gotten called back up from AAA. And David Bednar is a two-time All-Star to boot. Three of the last four seasons, he's been one of the very best closers in Major League Baseball. If you don't think people wanted David Bednar, you're out of your ever-loving mind. The general manager just didn't get enough for him. The Yankees got the closer, the Phillies got the closer from the Twins. They gave up two top 100 prospects. And maybe Bednar's not quite as good as Duran, but he is damn good. And you're telling me you can't get anybody's top 100 prospect? You can't get one for David Bednar?
They could have. They just chose the package, right?
They wanted the package. Love that package. Texas brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. That defies all logic. Oh, we preferred the package. Well, Ben, who cares about the package? Get the best guy who can help the team now and next year. I don't care about a package when the other two pieces that came back for David Bednar are Edgleen Perez, who's 18 years old, and Brian Sanchez, who's not going to be here before 2028. Who cares about the package? Who cares about extending the window?
Crazy.
Open the window.
Crazy.
412-928-9370.
I mean, you see the... I mean, speaking of Mason Miller, you saw the haul that the A's got back. I mean, I'm sure you, in Pirates sense, he's not as good. Bednar's not as good, but you could have thrown another peach in there and maybe gotten something back. I mean, that's no good.
Of course it's no good. That's what I just said. You're just repeating me.
I'm sad. I want to express myself.
And somehow, when we're all in this frothing uproar at the Bednar return, like I tweeted out initially, okay, Rafael Flores, not a bad piece. The more I read, and the more you realize, oh, this guy's not even close to being a top 100 prospect, the more mad you get. But then the Bailey Falter thing, it sent me.
Yeah.
I mean, it sent me. We had talked about that he might be a commodity at the deadline because he's a lefty under control who's cheap. That those three things, that's hard to come by in one body. Okay, so maybe you trade him. But if you do, you think you're getting at least a top 30 prospect. They don't get a top 30 prospect. They get a pitcher who's pitched 5 games in major leagues. What the hell? What are you doing? Give us a ring of the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Many more of your calls. Open phone lines at 412-928-9370. And what did Ben Cherington say about keeping Mitch Keller? We'll get to that.
Mitch is both unusual and, you know, hard to find in the sense of how reliable he's been, the amount of innings he pitches, the amount of starts and innings he's taken over the last 3 years is, you know, certainly amongst the tops in baseball. That's not an easy thing to find. And he's been a very effective pitcher, and I believe he can be even better. So the combination of all that was going to make it a high bar to cross. We were not motivated or anxious to trade him. We needed to listen. In the end, it was clear to us, certainly as it got into today, certainly, and as the probably even maybe late last night, that, you know, there just wasn't going to be anything out there that, that fit what we were, the fit the goals, that we felt actually, made us better than Mitch Keller himself.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, honestly, fair enough. But when the stated goal on Sunday was for the team to be better in 2026, none of the other trades
right.
fit that goal.
How does that fit? Like, one goal should fit everything. One mindset should fit everything. So now that you have one mindset for Mitch Keller, which I understand, you want to get what you can back that is of high production,
sure,
for Mitch Keller, but that should be the stated goal for every other player in trade.
Right. So if you're not going to get what you think Mitch Keller's worth, we had talked about that prior to the deadline. Fair enough. Don't just take the highest offer for Mitch. Get exactly what you're looking for. Okay, fine. But when Bailey Falter then gets shipped out, you need a player that's going to help you next year. When David Bednar gets shipped out, you need to get a player that's going to help you next year. When you're taking calls on Dennis Santana, you need to be trying to get players who can help you next year. None of that happened. And they didn't even move Dennis Santana. Shoot, they didn't even move any of the rental guys. The 50-minute mark on the fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you think that the reason why they didn't move the rental guys is because they want those guys back? They want to sign those guys back next year?
I could see that being a possibility with IKF. It's a good question.
I think even Tommy Pham. And Heaney.
I think you got to see the way Pham plays the rest of the year, obviously.
I think they really like him.
Shoot, man, if Pham hits well the rest of the year because the eye thing got fixed, I mean, he's hitting 276. If he's the 26th man on your roster next year, I guess it's not the end of the world. But guess what? You could have traded him
right.
and re-signed him this offseason.
Right.
Like all these guys are on expiring deals. Carlos Santana, way back when, said that after he got traded, he wanted to come back. And I think he was true in his word when he said that. And they weren't even interested in him. So, like, if Tommy Pham goes someplace else, hits someplace else, you could always have called him back up. What a disaster. What did Ben Cherington have to say about the money that they've saved? We'll get to that at the top of the hour. First, to the phones.
Yes.
Anthony in Oakland, hello.
And you just said what made the owner happy. The money. That's all he cares about. He doesn't care that the general manager is completely incompetent. I mean, this general manager is so incompetent that the national shows that come on your station at 10 o'clock, they are taking pirate calls from around the country and mocking and laughing at it and showing how irrelevant they are. I mean, this is a absolute disaster. And you know what? After one thing, I do have a reservoir. I saw great baseball in this town. So I feel sorry for you guys who have to endure this complete monstrosity. And I'm saddened for you because you'll never see it again. And shame on this organization and owner. And I wish the commissioner would somehow intervene like they did Marc Schott and Charlie Filini and do us a favor. Get rid of this man before it's too late.
Thank you, Anthony. Yeah, I'm jealous of people like Anthony.
Yeah, me too.
I will play a little bit of devil's advocate, not to say that it's not a disaster. It is. That's not the point I'm going to pick apart to play devil's advocate on. I mean, if it was fully about saving money, then Mitch Keller would have gotten moved too. You could have given him away for anything. And you would have gotten the biggest contract that was reasonably tradable off your books. But we'll get into that coming up next. Because, good thing on this, Pittsburgh media, when they met with Ben Cherington last night, did ask about the money saved and whether that will get folded into next year's team. I think it's an important answer to hear, to react to. Your calls at 412-928-9370. We're going to artfully mix football in as well so that we're not all just banging our heads against the wall. Steelers practice yesterday. There could be a significant playmaker that the Steelers make a move on. So we'll get into that as well. First, Fan Weather is brought to you by... Where is it on here? I'm guessing they still want us to do the weather, Harry. You could still have put it on the sheet. Well,
Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's trusted law firm for
all your law firm needs. Today is going to be mild temperatures compared to the last few weeks.